The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for this inaugural episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast is Boulder Startup Week founder Andrew Hyde. He's also the head of community at Origin Protocol and a co-founder of Glider.com, a nonprofit organization that produces Boulder Startup Week, Ignite Boulder, and TEDx Boulder. Andrew and I will talk about the birth and evolution of Boulder Startup Week, Boulder's wealth of tech and startup talent, business as a means to artistic freedom, and the future of Boulder Tech. This is the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week.
This is. That.
If I read correctly, Boulder Startup Week is the first ever Startup Week.
We founded this idea of Startup Week before kind of blockchain was really a thing, and this idea of decentralization and empowerment was really kind of mainstream. And I got tired of conferences that were all about the sponsors speaking and the attendees really overpaying for projects. And it's like, I don't want to be in a hotel conference room. I want to be in a town that I like. So Boulder, I love. And I love walking around the Pearl Street Mall. And we've got all these great startup offices all around. And it's like, why don't we just do, you know, our conference room crawl and just like share? We don't need to go and pay $3,000 to go see a conference to see some amazing speakers, because Boulder were kind of stacked. So we started it out, and I had 55 events the first year, threw it together with a zero budget. I think we had $500 at one point that we used on drinks and t-shirts.
And how many people were involved that year in terms of the organization?
I think there were three.
And now?
On the core team, well over 70. On the volunteer team, probably over 1,000.
Are the 70 paid, or are they volunteers as well?
Almost all volunteer. There's some people that are like, their work lets them take off time to do it. So that's, you could argue that's paid, but we are nonprofit and we have some nonprofit staff, but.
Or how would you say the Startup Week, the Boulder Startup Week specifically, has evolved over the last 9 years?
It's surprisingly stayed to the mission of just being this open, everybody has an opportunity to kind of play a role. The thing that's very weird is that you have a town that's so talented and people that are so talented, everybody feels like they're a speaker. You know, if we do the survey at the end of the week, we have like 70% of the people invite themselves to speak next year. And that's really, really cool. We have an empowered, intelligent, driven community, but it's also kind of a weird thing to build community on, because everybody wants to be listened to, but nobody really wants to be an active participant. Mm-hmm. And we've managed that, but there's definitely no like speaker party or VIP section. It is open to the community, and there's a, you know, 50-minute time slot where we'll have an event about a topic, and we'll invite some people to talk about that, but that conversation does not begin or end at that session.
Right. There's no place for, basically, for anyone to hide. There's no velvet ropes to hide behind. No. Yeah.
And if you want to just area, go to a coffee shop and meet some people, like, that's part of the conference, and we're just open to that. So we don't charge a ticket. It's open, it's free. Invite anybody. So everybody in the town, everybody, you know, that wants to be in Boulder for the week is invited to just play a part and be an active participant and not just sit back and listen and be told what to do or what to think.
Are there any topics or tracks that when Boulder Startup Week first started, maybe people thought like, that's whack, or that's just never going to happen, or just too weird, and now it's part of our everyday life?
Yeah, I think Ignite is a really good example of something that we didn't think would really work. So back in the day when we started, Ignite was 100 people. We were at a college campus, and we got the room for free, and we might have snuck in some food. And now it's the biggest music venue in town, and it sells out months before the show. And it's this idea of, you know, Ignite is a speaking event where people share their geeky passions. And so what do I have guessed that the biggest venues in town would sell out an event where geeks are just nerding out over something. I wouldn't have guessed that. I think that was something that would, I remember half the committee for the Ignite said, don't rent out that venue. That's too big. You'll never be able to sell it out. You're never, it's going to be way too big of a room. And in our first event, I think we had 600 people there. But it was a fantastic event. I think the earliest events were kind of, I don't want to say anti-establishment, but they were definitely like, there's this man out there, which is big business. And then there's us, which are people that see a different way to live. And it's kind of the burner aesthetic, you know, it's kind of the, creative class creed of, you know, we can lead our own destiny.
Do you see the creative class in any way, you know, towing that line of becoming the man?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're building businesses and you've got customers and you serve the needs of those customers. Can you do that while employing great people? Can you do that while making people's lives amazing? Absolutely. And I don't think there's anybody that's really against that. The creative community really acts in different ways. There's artists, there's expression, there's business. And I think a lot of people see business as their artistic freedom in this very interesting way. At first, we didn't really have lean startup to work with. You know, if you think about 9 years ago in tech, it was just an absolute legend away from where we are right now. So right now, you know, to start a business, you've got a lot of really solid coaching about finding customers and making sure you're really connecting with people before you build things. You're all about efficiency and not wasting time, and you've got all this mentorship. And back in the day, it was just kind of like launch and hope.
Right. And your laptop and your machete to blaze that trail.
Exactly. And there wasn't a lot of, I mean, there was support, but it was, you're still crazy. Like, I remember people, you know, seeing Boulder Startup Week being this very disruptive conference, and the people that attended were very, you know, different.
What's the percentage of people attending who are just here, live in Boulder, or here every day, or on the Front Range, versus are there people flying in for this event?
Yeah, I would say about 10,000 attendees, and I'd say about 1,000 of them are from out of town. So we used to really, like in the early days, all the Boulder companies were saying we would hire more people if we could find them, but we can't find them. And then 3 or 4 years ago, that became kind of a dirty thing for us to do. Like flying in people to buy a house and compete with a local, or just became something we didn't really want to participate in. It's going to happen naturally. But the narrative around tech is destroying Boulder kind of became ridiculous and not really grounded in reality. And so we styled back our fly-in program, but we styled up our hospitality. So everybody's welcome. We raise sponsorship and we put 100% of that back into the week. So if you're an attendee of Boulder Startup Week as a free ticket, you're going to get at least a couple meals, at least a couple pieces of swag, like a t-shirt or a poster, or all the venues are rented out. All the venues have snacks, all that, you know, so that's open and free.
Are all of the events you've put on more or less open and free? I mean, I know that TED is a ticketed event.
Yeah.
And TEDx, Ignite is a ticketed event. Yeah, so
there's a difference between like respecting the venue and people's time. So we do actively put a ticket cap limit. Even though it's a free ticket, you know, if there's 100 seats, we sell 100 tickets. So we probably sell 200 tickets, assuming that 100 people show up. And we have a wait list, and the wait list is always like, you're welcome, but don't be a jerk. You know, if there's room, you're always welcome. But if it's packed and you didn't have a ticket, be respectful and wait outside. Find 5 other people that are in the same boat as you and go to a coffee shop and like talk about it. You're all passionate about whatever the subject is. So it's an awkward thing to have a free ticket and a venue. And the worst thing for us to do is to have a venue that's not packed, mm-hmm. or a venue where people don't feel comfortable, or a venue where we don't have seats for people. So we don't want you to come to Boulder and then just not be able to get anything, but we don't want you to not get excited about the event.
So you put on a lot of events, Startup Week and Ignite and TED. Is Startup Week your first crack at this event production?
I think the first one, I mean, I've been throwing events since I was 12. Like that was really a part of like me going through high school and was with the Boy Scouts and student council and throwing prom and all these events. So I've put on events for a long, long time. Tech wise, I think I was a part of a couple big events that really changed how I thought about the world. Ignite Boulder being one of them. There's a couple events that I didn't put on, but I attended Foo Camp in San Francisco, which is O'Reilly, Tim O'Reilly and Brady Forrest and kind of this gang of open source, you know, commiserators and creators. Got together and just said, we want to see kind of this beauty in the world and we're going to curate this. And I've always been very happy when I'm in those rooms that are heavily curated, but also very against those rooms. Because I really believe that everybody's got an interesting story and everybody's got an interesting place to be. And by radically including everybody, you create a better event. And you don't know who's going to be a CEO in 5 years. You don't know who's going to be the best community member in 5 years. So I've taken the mantra of your newest community member is your most important community member. And so if you're throwing an event, the person that doesn't know anybody is your lifeblood. And if they have a great time at your event, they're going to come back. They're going to tell their friends. They're going to involve more people. And if they don't, then you're going to see something much, much different.
What's your tech background?
I graduated with a new media and computer graphics degree. I started a company out of college and then started working in startups.
Did you work more on sort of the actual tech side or more on the marketing and sort of vision side?
Yeah, I graduated with a degree in new media, which at the time was action script development. So I thought I was going to be a developer. And then I realized there's no jobs in Boulder. You know, I applied for 90 jobs when I first moved here in 2004, and I didn't get a single one. I got 3 callbacks. And then I finally found some sort of job that was a very high stress, very high working, very low pay job. And, you know, only lasted a couple months until that company folded. And then I was just kind of like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I don't know if I want to do service-based. I don't know. And back then there was just no mentorship. There was no, like, I went to Barcamp, which was this open, you know, radically inclusive event where the schedule was totally fluid. And I went there and I met somebody and they're like, they make their money online and they're like creative every day and they like their job. And this was like really new to me. Like, I thought work was suffer. I thought the process was to be an artist and not make money and then try to sneak in some fun on the weekends. And then I just met this room full of people that were directing their own and they're doing startups and they were their own bosses and they were working out of cool office spaces. And it was just this brand new thing. And that just totally changed how I saw my future and what was possible.
Were the opportunities for non-tech people in the tech scene?
Education's open and free. So try to shadow or do your own internship with a company. If you're really interested in doing tech and you have the time, find a friend that looks like they're enjoying what they do for a living and say, hey, can I follow you around for a day? Hey, can I show up? Hey, can I just participate? Do you need any help? And then find out what you do and what they don't do and see if there's a marriage there. So just show up and hang out and be an active participant and you're going to find some connections. The worst way to go about it is to hop on LinkedIn or hop on, you know, a job site. It's the absolute worst. The best jobs don't get posted there. And the best jobs that match your skill set are the ones that you carry and are passionate about. So go to meetups, right? And if there's a meetup about cloud security and you've never touched a line of code, still go and listen and just really be like, oh, wow, okay. There's this thing called DevOps and there's network security and there's all these people working on separate problems. And here are the programming languages that they use and here's how they, you know, here's a gateway to learn them. And maybe I go through a code school, or maybe I go through my own code school. Maybe I build, you know, go through every night, just learning something every day. Maybe I'm a designer. Maybe I lead up customer service. It just depends on kind of what you want to do and then work back from there. So I'm inspired. I think every one of these interviews, we should have a moment where we say, what's your idea of the future?
Okay. What's your idea of the future?
My personal idea of the future in Boulder Tech is we're in a tough spot. I think the flood happened and there's truly Boulder before the flood and Boulder after the flood, the 2013 flood. And it's suddenly there's construction everywhere because they're repairing flood damage, but also because the economy just really lit up. And so we went from, we should move people here. This is a town that's somewhat affordable. It was never cheap, but it was somewhat affordable. You could live in Lafayette. You could live within a 30-minute drive, no problem, on almost any budget. And now it's millions for a house. And it's tough and we're pushing out a lot of people and we're pushing out a lot of really good people. So I think that there's a lot of industry in Boulder and it's not tech's problem, but tech can be part of the solution. So the future of Boulder, I think to me, is always about inclusivity. And it's about if you have been given a gift, if you have been given a lot of privilege to share that and to be as inclusive as possible. So my vision is that everybody kind of just starts paying attention a little bit more to their neighbors and really start solving it, not as tech, but just as people that live here and people that recognize and open up what they're working on. So I think that my vision is really all about kind of carrying on the legacy of Dot's Diner, you know, of this, like, I just, you know, random curious companies that are doing fun things, that treat their employees well, that treat their customers well. And that marriage, I think, is really going to happen. And you're going to see that through a lot of the companies becoming B Corps, and a lot of companies going through Pledge 1%, and a lot of the companies just helping out and doing that advocacy silently. But I think we've got a really, really good spot here to do that. And Boulder's got a lot of nonprofits. I think we have 1,600 nonprofits for a town of 100,000, which is quite intense. It's a lot. So, you also have worldwide leadership here, right? We have people that made it somewhere else, that made it New York, LA, London, Paris, and they're here and they're just hanging out. And they really enjoy being a part of the community, but they also aren't being aggressive about saying that they're the center. Right, they're not trying to say, I'm here now, play in my, I made it in New York. And if you do that in a cafe, you'll meet 10 people that made it in New York. They're here because they love trail running, or they love the outdoors, or they love their partner, or they love, you know, they love something about Boulder and the Boulder ethos of riding their bike to work and having a cute dog, and, you know, whatever your vision is, you're finding that.
So what would you say to the pre-flood Boulderites who feel like the town is invaded in a way and they don't recognize it anymore?
Yeah, at one point they were them, right? At one point you were born here, or you moved here, and you were exactly that. So respect, right? Everybody needs to respect each other. That's a key. We only know how to change as a society and culture. So let's not be surprised when that happens. And let's make sure that we're fair, right? Like, we live in a capitalist society, housing prices in beautiful places with a track record of successful companies, they're going to go up. And there's no way by locking the door that that's not going to happen. So if you're the lock the door crowd, like, we're in, don't let anybody else in, like, you've kind of already lost and you don't realize it. And you're just making your life worse by doing that. So, like, embrace it. And you've got a new neighbor, help them discover, you know, the beautiful arts and culture that we have here. Help them discover, share a meal, really, really dig in. We have a local theater company here, which is absolutely fantastic theater, like world-class. Every time I have somebody from out of town and we try to catch one of their shows, and they always remark, like, we don't have this where I live. And I'm like, wait, you're from New York. Like, you're from London, you have the West End, you have world-class. And they just, no, we don't have this, because it's got this tactile beauty to it where you actually participate and actually know everybody in the audience and actually play a role.
As somebody who is practices and promotes inclusivity and whenever possible gives it away, what would you say to, because I know that some people have a fear around that, what would you say to people about that fear?
It's never hurt me, right? Like, I think a lot of people, their biggest fears are going to get taken advantage of. And what happens when you start that conversation, it's really just a conversation. I'm giving out. Boulder Startup Week has always been free. You know, I've always volunteered to put it on. And every time I do it, I have somebody that I meet that we start a conversation or we start something. And we find a new friend or a new form of empathy, or you learn something. And so if you want to be invited to dinner parties, invite other people to your party, right? Like, that's just like a 101 how to become, you know, popular, if you will. You have to participate in hospitality, and that's all it is. So, you know, if I look back for 10 years, like, sure, I've been taken advantage of, but do I regret that? Not at all. Cause everybody's going through their own process and everybody's at their own time of discovery. And so if you can give more. And that's just always been my philosophy around that.
Anything else you'd like to say?
One thing about the Boulder tech community that's always impressed me is how much they care about each other. And so if you see a company going out of business, there's generally a rush to try to make sure everybody is taken care of. It's not really a society where we really value venture capital. We like that they're there and we participate in that, but we really, really love and trust the idea of the creators. So I think that we're much more curious about what we can do than kind of this idea of, like, there's funding, we should get it. It's not about the funding at all. I mean, that's helpful and necessary evil in the space, but Boulder Tech has always, to me, been about, we're the ultimate underdog going against the world and have neighbors that have succeeded. And so those, you know, those massive goals that every other community in the world would just be like, you're a fool for thinking about, we see as commonplace. And we see as we're not even the best in town trying to do that. And I think that's the most inspiring thing about Boulder.
Andrew Hyde, thank you very much. Thank Have a you. Great startup week. That was Andrew Hyde, founder of Boulder's Startup Week. Learn more about Andrew at his website, andrewhy.de. That's andrewhy.de. Episode number one of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week Adventure Track sponsor, Brandzuka. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors, Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by Echodeck, that's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.